The 100 Years' War, the Duguesclin period, the war between Portugal and Spain, 1382, part 2. In the spring of 1382, at a very critical stage of the preparations for invading Castile, a court scandal gravely weakened the Portuguese government. John of Gaunt's Galician retainer, Juan Fernandez Endero, had taken advantage of his return to Portugal with the English army to resume his affair with Queen Leonora, Teles. With the king visibly ailing and only intermittently capable of directing affairs, Leonora had become the dominant voice in the Portuguese government. Most of Don Fernando's counselors and professional advisors and much of the court nobility were by now her clients and protégés. Endero moved into the residence at court and began to receive lavish grants on his mistress's nomination. When in the spring of 1382 it became obvious that the queen was pregnant, the gossip surrounding her relationship with Endero could no longer be contained. In about March 1382, the Portuguese court moved to Évora, a substantial city dating from Roman times, standing at the edge of the Great Plain. As a result of some indiscreet words of Endero, the truth about his affair with Leonora became known to one of her ladies-in-waiting, who was married to the king's private secretary, Goncalo Vasquez de Avendo. She repeated the story to her husband. He lent a hint of what he had learned dropped into the queen's presence. Vasquez was a venal man who owed much to Leonora's favor, but he was also close to the king, having served as a confidential advisor to both Fernando and his father before him. Leonora panicked. She seems to have thought she was about to be denounced and disgraced, so she attempted what amounted to a coup. She prevailed on Fernando to order Vasquez's arrest. The king's half-brother, Jean of Avis, who was the only other member of the royal council with the stature and independence to stand up to her, was arrested at the same time. The sick king was then packed off to the castle of Viermo, a day's ride away, leaving Leonora and Endero in control of Évora. The two prisoners were taken to the citadel under armed guard and loaded with chains, while the queen plotted their execution on trumped-up charges of treason. Leonora might have gotten away with the destruction of the Vasquez, but she had overreached herself in attacking John of Avis, who was a considerable figure in Portugal. John was the bastard son of the previous king of Portugal, Don Pedro. You almost need a little check sheet to see who's who. His father had appointed him at the age of 6 as master of the military order of Avis, an office which gave him control of the order's great wealth and assured him a substantial position independent of the factions at court. Now 25 years old, John was a popular figure in the cities and among the nobility. The noblemen about the court protested. Captain of Évora refused to carry out the executions without the king's personal warrant. Even the Earl of Cambridge, who had originally refused to come involved, was induced to intervene on the prisoner's behalf. After 3 weeks, both men were released. It is unclear how much Fernando ever knew about his wife's conduct. Leonora eventually bought the complicity of Vasquez, and as for John of Avis, he withdrew from court, a confirmed enemy of the queen, and joined the Earl of Cambridge on the Eastern March. An uneasy calm then descended on Évora. Shortly afterwards, discipline finally collapsed in the English army. Long months of inactivity had been bad for the men's morale. Many of them died during the winter from malnutrition and disease, and heavy casualties were suffered in a succession of violent incidents with the Portuguese. The army's numbers had fallen about 1,000 men, a third of its original strength. The survivors were angry about their pay. They had received nothing since the autumn of the previous year. It was far from clear whether their wages were a Portuguese responsibility or an English one. Fernando appears to have accepted the responsibility in principle, but declined to pay, ostensibly because they had ignored his prohibitions against raiding into Castile. In fact, he was struggling to raise money for his own army. By the end of May of 1382, the malicious rumors began to circulate amongst the men of the Earl of Cambridge, had received money and to pay them, but failed to be distributed. This provoked a serious mutiny in a large section of the army camped around the town of Estremoz. A mass meeting was called. A surprising leader emerged in the shape of Sir John Sothery, 17-year-old bastard son of Edward III and Alice Pears. He persuaded his fellows to confront the Earl in his quarters, and if they received no satisfaction, turn their arms against the King of Portugal. The men formed around Sothery. They unfurled the banner of St. George and marched in warlike array on Vila Viscosa, crying out Asathari, the brave bastard. As they approached the town, they were met on the road by the marshal of the army, Sir Matthew Gournay, and two of his captains. The ringleaders were brought before the earl in his quarters. He had nothing to offer them, but they were eventually persuaded to send a delegation of three men to petition the King of Portugal. Fernando was alarmed by the prospect of an uncontrolled English army marauding across his realm. He received the representatives of the men and promised that they would receive some money within 14 days. To make good of his promise, the king's officers had to plunder the silver from the church treasuries. Quote, "See what a little troublemaking will do," Sothery is said to have remarked when the delegates returned with the news. End of quote. In fact, the mutineers had destroyed the last shreds of goodwill which the English enjoyed in Portugal. Fernando himself remained loyal to the alliance in spite of the difficulties. He too had the cross of St. George graven on his heart, as he later told Fogaça, but he was no longer in control of events. His counselors had unanimously objected to the English alliance when it first was made, for reasons that have largely been borne out by events. But a few noblemen, like John of Avis and the future Constable of Portugal, Nuno Álvares Pereira, enjoyed war with a relish that they had learned from their English mentors. But most of the Portuguese nobility regarded the conflict with Castile as damaging and pointless. So we'll see how this continues on, and I believe we have one more show about Castile and Portugal, and then it's back to France. Now, the sources for this: The Hundred Years' War, The Chronicles by Froissart, The Hundred Years' War by Perrois, The Hundred Years' War by Nylans, and The Hundred Years' War, The House Divided, Volume 3 by Sumption. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.